What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to The Toast. Happy hump day. It is Wednesday. Hope everyone has exerted some energy, got their morning workout in, humping the one that they love. Whether that is human, whether that is animal, we do not judge here at The Morning Toast. Hey, Jax, one question for you. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for asking. So exciting that it's hump day. I do hope everyone is humping someone they love. Now, later, whenever suits you.
I think that's absolutely beautiful. I love starting off the show with that kind of peaceful, harmonious energy before we start attacking one another.
I don't ever want to attack you.
No, me neither.
Maybe we could lay down our weapons for one day.
You know, we'll see where the show takes us. I feel like if there's any day for us to pick up our weapons, it's a hump day.
You think so?
It brings out that energy, that feral energy in others.
I guess you never know what could happen. The stories, I don't think the stories like will land on different sides of anything, but since when do we only talk about the stories?
So true. We've got to talk about ourselves. And today is a huge day for us. You know, we were being annoying a few weeks ago on set, being models.
Months ago. This was July.
Oh, okay. So months ago, we were like being annoying Secret Project girlies. And because we're the type of influencers and celebrities who are going to tell you what Secret Project correlates to which annoying time, we just launched on our Instagram. Jackie and I are one of the many faces of the new PJ Place, which is the children's place company. They launched their own pajama line. The pajamas are fabulous.
Fabulous. I wear them every single day since July. They are so amazing.
And, you know, they just hired a couple of models. Us, Khloe Kardashian, Kris Jenner, Tyler Cameron, Kevin Hart. So just some of our fellow models in the campaign. And you can check it out on our Instagram stories and posts. And it's just like life of a model. You know, another day, another slay, another day, another campaign.
Another day, another shoot.
Being a model is, like, people, like, look at our lives and they see two models and they're probably like, wow, that must be amazing. They don't realize how hard it is to be a model.
No, it's really hard to be a model. Like, I'm actually not kidding anymore. And
it actually is.
If that were my full-time job, I would not thrive in the position.
No, after the photo shoot, me and Jackie, like, I was not okay. Like, I was so tired. Photo shoots are so hard. Like, you have to stand straight for, like, 12 hours straight. Like, it's really hard.
And you just have to, like, move one muscle, this, that. And you also, like, have to be confident and be feeling yourself. It's just
even
a
if
lot.
You're not.
Yeah, it's so mental and physical. I know it sounds, like, crazy to be, like, modeling is hard. But it was not what you would expect.
No. And that, you know, doesn't go to say that it's any more difficult than being a coal miner.
Of course.
But it's just not as easy as it looks. Honestly, like, photo shoots are not my jam. Like, for the first, like, 20 minutes, I'm always having so much fun. I'm like, yes, I'm literally Kendall Jenner. And then, like, I see the pictures of myself. I'm like, oh, I'm not Kendall Jenner? You're kidding.
I think it's also probably hard that people probably think, oh, modeling's so easy. How hard is it to be a model? Whereas, like, coal mining is hard, but everyone respects coal miners.
That's true, actually. That's such a true statement.
So I'm sure that helps the coal miners get through those rough times.
100%. So we're looking sickening if you want to go look at our, and we're like not wearing any makeup. Like, we literally woke up like that.
They asked for a natural look.
And so we're natural girlies. Like, we're naturally beautiful. That's kind of my personal takeaway from the whole experience.
And PJ Place is just like making you feel naturally beautiful.
And the pajamas are sickening. Like, I'm truly, like, I'm very, very particular. You know me, skeletons are bust. And these passed my tests. And this is not even a sponsored episode. I was just really blown away by the pajamas.
Yeah, and the premium content that we just posted that you should go check out. And now totally. You could shop at PJ Place.
So other than that, we have a fab show. We've got Fast Five. It's Wednesday, which means we have Dear Toasters, which I'm super excited about, just to save some lives. You know, it's always good when you can wake up and save a life.
Trills.
I imagine that's how the fray felt.
I met someone in Atlanta who had written into Dear Toasters, and hers was the one about the girl who was like flirting with her husband, and the advice we gave was assess the threat.
Yes.
And so she showed me a picture.
Was the threat assessful?
The threat was assessed. This girl has nothing to worry about, mostly because she's so fabulous. Not to put down another woman, but it was just right. Like, I met this girl and I was like, you are a fabulous entity. You don't need to be threatened by others. And the girl will be invited to her wedding. Because Great. She assessed that the threat had been neutralized.
You absolutely love to see women supporting other threats. You do.
Women helping other women neutralize threats.
Detonate the threats. That's so good.
That's a fun word to say, threat.
Threat. So we'll do that in Dear Toasters. Just like change, save, and...
Heal.
Impact.
Heal. Another
heal.
Good word.
Yes.
Another good word.
We're all about the words today.
Yeah, like short, punchy words.
And we're short, punchy girls.
Ain't that the truth?
So we've got a fab show. There's no TV recap, so we can really dive into the Dear Toasters, dive into the stories. Tomorrow, actually right after this, I was that girl like walking through the street today with my suitcase, which is probably my least favorite girl to be. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's anything. And for no reason, there's nothing more embarrassing than being a grown woman walking through the streets with a suitcase. Like, suitcases are meant for the airport, and that's pretty much it. But I am headed to Nashville tonight for my show tomorrow. So tomorrow's episode, I'm going to do from our hotel room. It'll still be up. And I decided to go a night early so I could see Shannon Ford, so I could have dinner with her.
I feel like I just saw Shannon because I was listening to her podcast episode with James.
Her mans, yeah.
With her mans, and they're so sweet. I'm sure everybody has been following their American getaway where they just, like, took the country by storm.
No, it made me want to literally move to America, and I felt like I didn't live there.
I want to come back in my next life as, like, Shannon Ford's international boyfriend who gets to experience America through the eyes of Shannon Ford.
You know what? I won't be greedy. Like, I want to come back in my next life as, like, Shannon Ford's handbag. Like, I just want to be near Shannon Ford, you know?
Yeah, well, you could be really near to her if you listen to her podcast, probably a podcast. She puts out premium content.
Her videos are sickening.
And this week was no different, and it was so cute to hear hear them be in a relationship, you know?
Yeah, it was really cute. Really yeah. cute.
So
I really don't have much else. Oh, I will. Like, while I'm like worshiping the ground she walks on, I'll make sure to be like, oh, Jackie wishes she was here.
Yeah. Also, your show is tomorrow, Thursday. Okay, so like, don't get too crazy. I know you could get carried away with Shannon.
No, I can get carried away with Shannon, but like, one thing about me that I think a lot of people don't like expect, because I'm like a party animal, I can't be tamed. When it comes to my shows, like, I respect wellness. Like, I do not drink before shows. I don't drink the day of show. I won't drink like within 48 hours of my show. After a show, all bets are off, unless I have a show the next day. But I really respect, like, my work ethic does not include drinking. I do not do that.
Nice.
It's like the one time I restrain myself.
I was randomly thinking about how I feel like since we started doing these episodes since I moved, like, you really haven't been hungover for one of them.
Yeah, well, I have like an internal battle with the hangover episodes because they age really well. Like, people love them, but when I'm doing them, like, I feel like, you know, the main part of my job is to wake up and deliver a kick-ass show.
Yeah.
And if I don't do that, it feels like my whole day is a waste. So when I'm doing the hangover episodes, maybe I'm like shame spiraling, but I feel really bad when I do them. I feel like I don't get a good job done. You have to carry the show. So I feel like there was a period maybe a year ago where I was doing it kind of frequently. And part of me was like doing the episode, getting drunk so that I could do drunk episodes because people love them. But I don't know. I just felt like I wasn't doing a good job at my job. Do you know what I mean?
I fully understand what you're saying, but also some people love them. It's just like the singing. Like, some people love them, like, literally favorite episodes. Other people couldn't tolerate.
Yeah. Now when I go back and like see clips, I love it. But in the moment, like, I know I was not feeling proud.
I understand that. And so just like everything else, if people are going to like it or dislike it, you should just decide what you like.
Yeah. So like, don't get me wrong. If somebody invites me to a fab event on a Thursday, like I'm going balls to the wall and I'll show up here hungover. Maybe it's just that I haven't been invited to a fab event.
Maybe it's that. Also, I was thinking about how painful it would be to do an episode in these headphones with a hangover.
Oh my God, totally.
You would have to swap to buds.
Yeah, no, these headphones hit different. Like, yeah, they're squeezing the fuck out of my ears.
I know. I want to get a pair of different headphones. I think I always am talking about this, but I haven't found what I want, which is just like over-the-ear headphones that look nice, that are loose. But I also want you guys to be able to see my hair.
No, you know
what? Sometimes the headphones hide a bad hair day.
Purple, which is the brand that makes my favorite smelly pillow, needs to come out with a pair of headphones.
Mm.
That have like the gel flex. Yeah, Beats by Purple that have like the gel flex insert.
Gel flex.
That's a good collab idea.
Yeah, free idea.
That one gets the GBT stamp of approval.
Also, our rebrand got the GBT stamp of approval.
We talk about that. If you guys remember during Jackie's maternity leave, if you know her from TikTok, like you know, but if you're not a TikToker, Girl Boss Town, who's kind of become like the Gen Z branding and marketing expert.
Mm-hmm.
She did a video on our rebrand and gave it her stamp of approval. She said she loved the aesthetic. She loved the partnership with Dear Media. She thought it was genius on all fronts. People in the comments were also like, this is just a genius. Like, everyone was like complimenting us. It was such a nice change.
Such a nice change.
I loved it. But we've got a fab show. I'm ready to dive in.
We do. I'm ready to dive in. There's just one more thing that I wanted to talk about, sure, if I may. Because
serious voice alert.
Alert, serious voice. No, because yesterday we didn't talk much about the Kanye situation because we just like weren't in the mood. And I also like didn't have the words yet,
mm-hmm,
for what I was feeling to talk about them on the show. Like, I never want to come on here with like a half-baked thought.
Agreed.
And I also think like we should normalize like processing things and not just
normalize taking the time.
And not just like regurgitating what everyone else is saying, because it feels like you have to say something, mm-hmm, when you're not sure what you want to say yet. And so I know what I want to say, and so I just want to talk about it for a second. I don't want to, like, make...
Oh, it's not a story.
It's not a story. I don't want to make anti-Semitism a story. Like, the stories...
You know what?
The stories are light and fun. I love that. And if we ever want to talk about serious topics, which we do sometimes, we always do it at the front of the episode, you know?
So, I love that, by the way. Thanks. Let's not make anti-Semitism a story. And I also think, like, normalize thinking before you speak. So, I totally agree. I was like so fatigued by it, and I was just like annoyed and upset by it. So the idea of like doing it at work, I was just not in the mood for. But yeah, when you called me today and you were like, let's talk about it, I'm ready. I was like, you know what? Okay, fine. And I feel like, for a little backstory for anyone who might not know like what went down, I'm sure you do. Kanye was on one of his many rants on Instagram over the weekend, and there was like a few. It's funny because everyone is obviously talking about the DEFCON 3 text he sent to, who was it?
He tweeted that.
Oh, well,
that was a tweet.
Everyone was talking about that. But for me, I was like watching his whole saga go down. Like, that whole week he was posting a lot on Instagram. He did a big interview, and there was like a few things that he said that like triggered something in my brain. Like, if you're Jewish, you're like very like sensitive. Even very, you're sensitive and very like subtle things. You're like, well, was that a little...
Yeah.
And then when he did the DEFCON 3 tweet, it just kind of wrapped the whole thing up in a bow.
Right. And I think the beginning things where people were like, oh, this is subtly anti-Semitic.
Like the Kushner thing. Like,
didn't get much traction outside of like the Jewish community.
Because we all had our antennas on. We're like...
Yeah. So I couldn't figure out like exactly what about the situation is bothering me. Obviously, Kanye's tweet is diabolical. I don't know what DEFCON 3 on Jewish people means. I don't know that I want to know. I'm a little scared. So
totally. And like
was that? No, go ahead.
No, and prior to that, like the things he had been saying in his text messages that he screenshotted were just like very, like harking back to some of the worst tropes about Jews, like that we control the media and the money and everything. Like, that is a very, very common thing that like I feel like is such an antiquated stereotype, but it's so prevalent. Like, the amount of people who thought that like Jews invented the vaccine, like it's still so prevalent. Like, and it's really damaging because it leads to terrible, terrible things.
Right. So people started paid attention to the anti-Semitism once he said DEFCON 3 on Jews. He was like deplatformed from Twitter. He was deplatformed already from Instagram for saying that like Diddy's business people were Jewish. And,
right.
Like, he wasn't able to post after that because of that. And now everyone, or a lot of people more than usual, are being like, Kanye's anti-Semitism, like tisk,
way
tisk,
more
tisk
than usual.
Way more than usual. And while I guess I'm glad that anti-Semitism is getting a spotlight.
No, here's what it is. Like, I don't want to be ungrateful because people are finally acknowledging anti-Semitism, even though on the scale of like anti-Semitic things that have happened in the last year, this is very
low
small.
Grade. Yeah.
It's low grade. So I don't want to be ungrateful, but like I am suspicious. I know that sounds crazy.
Yeah. I am suspicious, and now that I've like had time to think about it, this is where I've landed with it. So Kanye had a very hectic week last week,
busy.
And it
booked
all started
and busy.
Booked and busy. He had his Yeezy fashion show where he wore a shirt that said White Lives Matter, and this started everyone in hysterics over the shirt. But people, what can people really do about him wearing that shirt? What are they going to say, that he's racist? He's
right.
A black man. Like
right.
He's calling out that BLM was a scam, and he's wearing a shirt that says White Lives Matter. And like this really enraged people. He continued all week to talk, like posting on Instagram. He did a big interview. You know, he's very pro-life. People don't like that about him. Mm-hmm. And, but you really can't, people couldn't at that time, like take him down for something like that.
Right.
So now he says this thing, DEFCON 3 to the Jews, and he's given everyone the reason to cancel him because what he said is fucking crazy.
Right.
And it feels like everyone who's so eager to cancel him about this doesn't care about actual anti-Semitism, aside from the Jewish people who are posting about it, the Jewish activists, and Meghan McCain. Always, always supporting the Jews.
Yeah.
So it just felt so performative to me, especially because the more I watched some of the things that he said, there was like more leaked clips from his interview with Tucker Carlson. The more a lot of what he's saying, he is regurgitating talking points from like Louis Farrakhan, who is a big figure. He's a pastor, and he...
Before he's a pastor, he's an anti-Semite.
Big time anti-Semite. If you don't know about his anti-Semitism, you could look it up. You know, he said that Hitler was a great man. He called Jews termites. He's also a major homophobe. He said horrible things about the LGBT community.
He's fucking
calling
wild.
Calling them demonic. Fucking wild. A lot of people in Hollywood subscribe to him. We've talked about him before.
Like with Nick Cannon, I think a lot.
Cannon said on his show that resulted in a temporary cancellation was direct talking points from Louis Farrakhan. But right. A lot of other celebrities either sometimes say these things or also are followers of his.
Yeah, they like go to his sermons and shit. It's such a weird fucking flex.
It's such a weird flex. There are so many celebrities who do and they're not canceled. Even the ones who have said the same things that Louis Farrakhan has said have not been canceled for what they've said.
Right. No,
so
I
how are people
saying.
Caring so much about Kanye saying these same things when this has been going on in Hollywood for a very long time and none of those people are canceled?
Right. No, it goes without saying that like this is being blown up because it's Kanye and he has become this like polarizing figure in the last year. So for someone who actually cares about anti-Semitism, I don't feel the genuine love and like want for change from social media and celebrities and influencers who are posting about it. It feels 100% performative. And I hate to complain because like for the first time, like we're getting support, but I don't think it's coming from a genuine place because I think what we've learned over the last couple of years, like really nobody cares about. Like you're telling me like all this uproar for Kanye who like nobody really takes seriously. Like all this uproar for Kanye when like less than a year ago, like people in New York City and LA were literally getting beat up on the street for being Jewish. Temples were being defaced. Nobody said a word. So
they
like,
still are every single day. There is at least one, but usually multiple instances of anti-Semitism in this country. Violence, like anti-Semitism in real life, not just
social media
stuff online. Like we talked about it in New York City. There's this Tablet magazine article that it's open season on Jews in New York City. Hundreds of anti-Semitic attacks against Jews, and only one person has even served one day in jail.
Right.
People don't care. And now with Kanye's tweet, now AOC gets to come out against anti-Semitism.
Oh, please.
When
please.
In her state, in her city, the cases of actual anti-Semitic violence are so fucking high, but no one is doing anything about it. So that's what bothers me.
Yeah. And I just feel like, to your point, there's so many instances of like way worse. And I hate to like diminish because I can't. Blanket statement, like can't say enough, like how what Kanye said was wrong.
Yeah.
And this is not the first time he said something anti-Semitic. Like in 2013, he blamed his low concert sales, ticket sales on the Jews. Like this is not the first time. Like this is a problem. This is a problem. But I would love for people to bring this energy to other celebrities. I mean, I like, let's mention it all. Bella Hadid. Like, Bella Hadid is not a beloved member from the Jewish community. Like, we do not feel safe around her. She went on a podcast like 2 months ago, basically talking about how, like, all of the Jewish people in her life, like, don't really talk to her anymore. They won't invite her over to their house. Like, oh, I wonder why. And so she's, like, out here being a victim, like, my Jewish friends won't talk. Well, why aren't they talking to you? And, like, Diet Prada's posting this podcast being like, she's so brave. She's brave? If, like, all the people in your life from a certain community aren't talking to you anymore, like, maybe you're the problem.
Yeah. No, but her face is still everywhere. You can't go anywhere without seeing her.
Where's the energy? Where's the energy? I mean, let's keep up the energy, everyone. Let's keep it up.
And it's like Bella's post. Remember when she posted a picture of her friends?
And then her friend was literally arrested the next day for beating the shit out of some boy I know.
A Jew in the street.
I know him. I went to camp with him.
Committing a hate crime against Jews. And she and that post stayed up.
Right.
And she never said anything. Like,
no, so here, I love the energy we brought for Kanye. Let's amp it up with everyone else and everything else and all the other anti-Semitism. All the, what is it, 92% of hate crimes against Jewish people when we account for 2% of the population? Let's keep up that energy. I love it. Yes.
Yeah.
Keep it up. Keep it up.
And until we do, this
suspicious
rings performative, phony, and convenient.
Performative. That's the word. That is the word.
So those are my thoughts. Obviously, I
hope you enjoyed them.
Incredibly disappointed. Like, I don't know how to enjoy Kanye again.
No, he's, you know what? I'm not even disappointed because he was really fucking annoying me the last couple of months. So, like, now I'm like, bye, annoying. And that's also part of the reason I didn't want to talk about it, because, like, I don't, like, I'm so over him. Like, he's out of my, like, off my list.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, but like,
this conversation does not stem from, like, being obsessed with the Kardashians, like, because I've been over Kanye for a really long time.
Yeah, no, but also I don't think the Kardashians are obsessed with Kanye. Right. I think he causes them a lot of trouble.
A lot of grief. So he needs to stop, like, now. And so does everyone.
Yeah.
No, actually, everyone needs to keep going.
No, keep going. We want all of this energy, please.
Always.
And bring it to the Jews of Brooklyn who literally can't walk down the street in religious garb without getting beat up. Oh, and their assailants, even when caught, don't face any serve consequences. Any
totally, totally, totally. Let's keep up the energy. I'm going to be counting on all of you. All of you who are posting, I'm counting on you. I'll be checking in.
So those are my thoughts.
My blood pressure's up. Should we dive in?
Yeah, let's take it down a notch with the Fast Five stories that you need to know. Sorry, I fucked up. The Fast Five stories that you need to know, period.
Wait, do it again.
Here are the Fast Five stories that you need to know, period.
Gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, I'm sorry. And just one more thing about the whole Kanye thing. Mm-hmm. The worst part about all of this and this anti-Semitic trope is that when someone does get canceled for saying what they say about the Jews, you know, the Jews
control the media. Yeah.
Then that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy because you just espouse anti-Semitism. So yes, you are going to get backlash. And that only makes that person more anti-Semitic, more firm in their beliefs that the Jews control everything. And we don't get anywhere better. So I do love when someone like Nick Cannon, like, sits down with a rabbi.
Yeah.
I don't know who Kanye would listen to. I don't think any of the Jews that he knows are the ones to do it.
No, no. I agree. Like, with the Nick Cannon thing, I felt
I think it needs to be us.
Oh, 100%. I welcome the idea. Also, like, I feel like the Nick Cannon case study of anti-Semitism, like, I think, like, first of all, the way he handled it was great. I think the way we handled it was great as a community. Like, I don't think we came at it with anger. We came at it with, like, genuine wanting to assist. And I think that's always going to be more helpful. And I actually think, like, he learned something.
Mm-hmm.
So I think everyone should take a look at Nick Cannon.
I also don't get the sense that Kanye has any idea about Jewish history, about Jews in America outside of Hollywood. I don't think he knows anything. I do think he could be educated. I don't think he'll apologize. He doesn't apologize. I don't think he's sorry for what he said. I don't think he didn't mean what he said, but I
Jackie,
do think...
I don't really feel like that's a fair excuse. Like, you're a 40-year-old man with unlimited...
an excuse. I'm sorry. I'm not saying that as an excuse. I'm saying that as an opportunity. Like...
Yeah, no, I know, but like...
Learn about the Holocaust. I think that would be helpful
It's on you as a human being... to learn about the Holocaust. Maybe you didn't learn about it growing up, but you, live in LA, you're over 40. No,
I didn't mean it as an excuse. I meant it as like something that maybe could help him see outside what he thinks is true about Jews.
Yeah. And maybe we're the gals to do it. I totally agree. Like, the invitation is open.
Us giving him a guided tour of Yad Vashem. Patreon. Oh my God.
Patreon, stop. Not us monetizing the Holocaust. Stop.
Yeah, no. Bad. Okay, we'll do it just on our YouTube channel.
For free. No, and by the way, and if we monetize it, they'd be like, those Jews. Totally. And I want anyone, if you know someone or you yourself think that Jews control the media, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to Google Claudia Ashray. Look at the pictures that show up. Look at the articles that show up. Look about the lies that show up about me. If I controlled the media, because I'm Jewish, it would look so different. Like, I would literally have all the pictures from my PJ Place thing up there. Like, I would have cute new photos of me and, like, selfies from that are Facetuned.
Our new rebrand?
Our rebrand. Yeah. I can't stress enough. Like, that's literally the solid proof that you need that Jews don't control the media. Because my Wikipedia, my Google would look so different.
Yeah. Yep. Also, he tweeted, like, right after he was about to go DEFCON 3, he had said, like, who do you think started cancel culture?
Not me, bitch. Not me. Don't put that shit on me. Don't put that shit on me. Today's episode is brought to you by Honey. Thank you, Honey, for sponsoring today's episode. The easy way to save when shopping on your iPhone or a computer. So we've talked about Honey a lot, and I think a really new exciting development in Honey's ethos is that they now have their browser extension available for iPhones. So of course you shop online on your computer. If you're on the train, you're on a plane, you're always on your phone, you can now have those amazing savings with Honey from your iPhone. So thanks to Honey, manually searching for a coupon code is a thing of the past. Honey is the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes, and it applies the best one it finds to your cart. So here's how it works. Imagine you're shopping online at one of your favorite stores. Personally, I've saved on makeup, on clothing, on food, on electronics. So many of the websites that I shop at very frequently use Honey, if not all of them. So when you're shopping at your favorite site, check out. The Honey button will appear, and all you have to do is click apply coupons. Wait a few seconds as Honey will search for coupons that it can find. And if they find a working coupon, you will just watch your price drop. So I'm never not surprised that Honey, like, I'll be shopping for, like, I was just shopping for our Halloween costume on, like, an obscure website. Honey, it's not just, like, the big ones. They've got really so many retailers on there that they work with. And it's just a fabulous, easy way to save money. And it's free when you use our link. So if you don't already have Honey, you are missing out. By getting it, you're doing yourself a solid. We'd never recommend something that we don't use. So get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/toast. That's J-O-I-N, Honey, H-O-N-E-Y.com/toast. Because Honey doesn't just work on desktop. It also works on your iPhone. Just activate it on Safari, on your phone, and save on the go. So get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/toast.
Great. Thank you, McClardia.
You're welcome for all the links and all the codes that'll save.
Especially, that should be Honey's jingle.
100%.
First story, some TV shakeup news. Blake Shelton will depart The Voice after next season, and Niall Horan and Chance the Rapper join Kelly Clarkson as judges. So after more than a decade on The Voice, Blake Shelton is preparing to say goodbye. NBC has announced that the next season of the singing competition will be Shelton's last. They also announced yesterday in a series of cryptic Instagram posts that Claudia completely fell for.
I thought it was a collab.
Oh my God. She was like so big mad. Meanwhile, she did extra promo for The Voice yesterday.
I literally thought Kelly Clarkson was doing a song with Chance the Rapper. And I was like, oh my God, this is going to be the song of the season.
So Chance, Kelly, Niall Horan, and Blake Shelton all posted a peace sign to their Instagram, a peace sign emoji, which is also a V for voice. Very cool.
Oh, I missed that.
Yes. Also very Churchill of them, V for victory.
And for vagina.
And for, you know, Churchill used to walk around like this.
Yes, I know.
All he was missing.
Duck face.
And turning it to the side. And so like Kelly tagged Chance. Chance tagged Blake, Blake tagged Niall, all around the... It was a cute way to promote the new judges.
Yes.
So twofold news is that Chance the Rapper and Niall Horan are joining The Voice as judges. And then next season will be Blake Shelton's last. And he is the last OG judge.
So let's talk about The Voice. Because currently, I was watching, me and Ben like randomly watched it a couple weeks ago. And I always think like if I was auditioning, like whose team would I go on if they all turned for me? And I honestly was thinking like I would not choose one single person that they have right now. Right now it's Blake Shelton and Gwen Stefani. There. Camila Cabello and John Legend. So if I had to, I'd probably pick Camila Cabello because, like, maybe I'd get to meet Taylor Swift.
I think, but at that point, you go with the person who you think maybe you could, like, strike up a friendship with.
Camila Cabello.
Yeah.
So I was thinking how, like, and even though all four of those people, like, are stars, it's just kind of like a lackluster lineup, especially when we are coming off of Ariana Grande's season, which people loved. So I was really surprised when, like, I just realized how it's kind of like a low star quality. Even though they're all stars, I just can't explain. Like, they're not, there's no mega star.
No, there's
so
not.
So I think the shakeup is really good. I mean, Chance the Rapper is huge. Niall Horan is going to be amazing. He's got a great personality too. Like, you can't just be talented. Like, you have to also be funny and personable.
And he has a huge audience, which I'm sure they're interested in.
And Kelly's back, which is incredible. But who's the fourth? They need a country person to replace Blake.
Let's theorize. I think it'll do a country female.
I mean, if they got Morgan Wallen, that would be crazy because Morgan Wallen started on The Voice.
That would be crazy.
But he's at the peak of his career. And unless you're Ariana Grande, like, you really don't do those types of shows when you're at your peak.
No. And I'm sure they paid her more money than she could ever turn down. I don't think they would offer him the same.
So, like, the country stars that are having a moment right now, Luke Combs, Morgan Wallen, Kelsey Ballerini, Maren Morris, like, they're not going to do it.
No, but let me ask you something. Right now, The Voice, is it two men and two women?
Yes.
I think they'll probably stick with that. So I think it would be a female country star.
Carrie
Underwood.
It would be crazy if Miranda Lambert did it because, like, her and Blake Shelton are ex-wife and husband. And, like, that would just be awkward. I don't think she would do it because I think she does not like the storyline of her and Blake Shelton's marriage. But someone like that. Yeah, Carrie Underwood. It would be crazy if Carrie Underwood and Kelly Clarkson were both judges on The Voice because they both started on American Idol. But Carrie Underwood is a great guess.
Yeah. I think it'll be a country female.
I also think it's weird they're announcing the judges for next season when this season just started.
Oh, is that what it is?
They're like, I think they're just wrapping up the blind auditions.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
That's really weird.
I do think it's Blake's time. Like, the show was amazing for him. I feel like it officially put him in, like, retirement. Like, he still releases new music and stuff, but he's more like a celebrity and personality now than he is like a country singer. I feel like the 10 years that he's been on, all these other male country artists kind of, like, surpassed him.
Yeah, but I also think it helped him distinguish himself from the pool of male country artists that if you're not really in country, you just kind of associate with each other.
So true. I also think he made so much money. Like, I think he can truly just retire.
And he met his lady love, and that's priceless.
100%.
They really are, like, a real
They're
movie.
They're, like, a little annoying on the show.
They're a movie that feels like a movie.
They're a little annoying on the show.
I don't watch, so not my problem.
Yeah. Well, who would you choose right
out
now?
Of
the current judges?
Camila, John Legend, Blake Shelton, and
Gwen.
Blake Shelton.
Yeah.
He has the best track record. Yeah. Like, yeah. I'm a winner.
Yeah. Even though the people from The Voice who have, like, made it big are not the winners.
Right. But.
But they are country, they could be. Usually.
Also, Blake's, even if they don't win, they go far. Like, Ray Lynn, never forget.
Right, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, most of the people who have come from The Voice who made it big and didn't win are country.
Yeah, because of Blake, I think.
Yeah. So,
cool.
Cool. Cool beans.
Our next story, some sad news. Murder, She Wrote actress Angela Lansbury has died at the age of 96. She's also, as we would know her from Beauty and the Beast, the original Mrs. Potts.
I didn't know that.
Yes. So she passed away. The children of Dame Angela Lansbury put out a statement, said they are sad.
Dame.
Said
that means she was. Dame is a title that you're given, right?
By the Queen.
Right. Wow.
They said they were sad to announce that their mother died peacefully in her sleep at her home in L.A. at 1:30 a.m. on Tuesday, just 5 days shy of her 97th birthday.
Is this your way of subtly doing a royal story?
No, because there's a part two to this story that it's an old story of Angela Lansbury's that's recirculating that is so fascinating that I also wanted to talk about.
Okay.
So she, in an interview in 2014, told this story of how when she was, like, big in Hollywood, her kids and I think her daughter joined, like, she started hanging out with, like, a bad guy who was, like, making her steal and, like, on drugs and, like, doing bad things. And
Bling Ring?
No. And it would be earlier than that. So she, like, picked up her whole family and moved them to Ireland.
Wow.
The bad guy, Charles Manson.
Oh, my God. Not her maternal instinct being on point.
Yeah.
Wait, that's so crazy.
So crazy. Like she, the interview was originally with Mail Online, but the Independent resurfaced it. And it gives the details of like what her daughter was doing with Charles Manson. And she just had to like, had to get out of there.
She had a bad feeling.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, that, it takes an extremely strong person to move your entire family to another country, especially when you're having like amazing success. Mm-hmm. And we love a queen who doesn't get, you know, swooped up by the Hollywood hoopla.
Yeah. So I found that story to be so fascinating.
That is really interesting. I'm sure her kids are enormously grateful.
Yeah.
Rest wow, that's peace, crazy. Dame.
I didn't know she was a dame either. And of course, she's Mrs. Potts.
So who are the current dames? We've got Maggie Smith.
Okay.
Judi Dench.
Famous dames. Helen Mirren.
Yeah.
14 celebrities made a knight or a queen. So,
well, a knight, yeah, I think it's Elton John.
Paul McCartney is a sir. Okay, Judi Dench, Maggie Smith, Professor McGonagall.
Well,
Dowager.
Dowager Countess.
The Dowager.
Cowager Countess.
Paul McCartney is knighted. Elton John is knighted. Julie Andrews and Elizabeth Taylor.
By the way, dumb question. Do you have to be British?
I don't think Elizabeth Taylor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Michael Caine, Miss Congeniality. He does deserve knighthood for that.
Oh, I fucking love that guy.
Helen Mirren. Mick Jagger. But the Queen refused to give Mick Jagger his knighthood, so Prince Charles gave it to him instead.
Maybe the Queen was nervous she would be swept away by his moves.
With his moves like Jagger. No, she said this article reportedly from a website I've never heard, said it was because of his anti-establishment views.
Not the Queen getting political.
And Bill Gates is an honorary knight.
Oh, wow.
Sure. Angelina Jolie received honorary damehood, but we don't call her Dame Angelina.
Yeah, no, okay. I don't care anymore.
Anna Wintour is a dame.
I don't care anymore.
This is seeming false, so.
I'm wishing Angela Lansbury's family well.
Rip Angela. Are you ready for our next story?
I don't give a rip. Yeah.
Khloe Kardashian had a tumor removed from her face. Khloe Kardashian had a tumor removed nearly 20 years after finding a cancerous mole on her back. The reality star.
20 years?
20 years ago, she had a mole removed on her back that was cancerous.
Oh, wow.
I think we knew that. I think she shared that before. She wrote via Instagram stories yesterday that she has seen numerous stories going around about the ever-evolving bandage on her face over the past few
right.
weeks. She set the record straight, explaining that she had a small bump on her cheek biopsied after it refused to budge for 7 months. After the growth was examined by two doctors, she was advised to have an immediate operation to remove the tumor. She said, I'm grateful to share that Dr. Fisher was able to get everything, and her margins appear clear now.
We love a transparent queen. So happy that everything is okay. And I guess me and Khloe have much in common because we both get moles removed.
Yeah. Also, this is just a great reminder for everyone to
get your skin checked.
And also, it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So get your boobies
checked.
Mammogram
season.
Yeah. And
totally.
I'm grateful to Khloe for reminding us to make that reminder.
Totally. Those full body checks at the dermatologist, especially if you have a male dermatologist, are some of the worst moments of your life. But you know what else is a worst moment? Cancer. So go get checked.
Go get checked. Thanks for the reminder, Miss Khloe.
Especially if you're like a moly girly. Like, there are two types of people in this world. Moly girls and non-moly girls.
But like, also freckly. Like, if you have a lot of freckles.
Okay, but that's not part of what I'm saying.
In terms of getting checked.
But I'm just saying, like, there's two types of girlies, like moly girls and non-moly girls. Like, either you're a girl with moles or you're a girl without moles. Girl with no mole. In the words of Danielle Staub, there is no in-between with me. You know, you're either a mole or a not mole.
I don't know if there's anyone who has zero moles. And if there is. Actually, Dana will know. I'll ask her when I speak to her.
Yeah, and if there is, I would like to interview that person. Like, to ask them probably, like, all about their blissful upbringing.
Their mole-free life.
Their mole-free life, their self-conscious-free life. I'm sure they're the most confident person. I'd like to talk to them.
You'd be shocked to hear what other issues plague them.
No, it's not.
Listen,
because
everyone is dealt a hand of cards. And
if you're dealt a hand without moles, you're special. You're special.
Okay, well, we will identify if there is a zero mole person out there.
Mole woman.
Are you ready for our next story?
Only if it's the next story that's sponsored by Jackie's favorite sponsor, hands down.
Is it the one that I can't stop singing about?
No, no, no.
Give me a clue.
It's the one that you can't stop referencing about language.
Babel.
If you're like us and there's a foreign language that you regret not learning in school, it is never too late to start with Babbel. Babbel is a language learning app that sold more than 10 million subscriptions. Thanks to their addictively fun and easy bite-sized language lessons, you can finally cross learning that new language off your list. So if you want to learn a new language for whatever reason, to expand your horizons, are you taking a trip? It's actually really important to like know the basics of the language of the country that you're traveling to, just like for safety reasons. Whatever your reasoning is, you really should check out Babbel because it's not like other language learning companies. You only need 10 minutes with Babbel to complete a lesson, so you can start having real-life conversations in the new language in as little as 3 weeks. Other language learning apps use AI for their lesson plans, but Babbel lessons were created by over 150 language experts, and they're voiced by real native speakers, not computers. Their teaching method has been scientifically proven to be effective, and you can choose from 14 different languages with Babbel: Spanish, French, Italian, and German. When I went to Italy, I did Babbel for a few weeks before, and it was like enormously helpful just to like know how to say like, I'm lost. Where's the bathroom? Thank you. Please. Like, it's really a great thing to do if you love to travel. And if you don't love to travel, it's a great thing to do. Just expand your mind, you know, read books, learn new languages.
Such a good hobby and like something to check off your list. Also, Claudia is taking a trip later. I'm not going to like spoil it or anything. And she's already on her Babbel grind, just learning a 100%. Few pointer words.
There are so many ways to learn with Babbel. In addition to lessons, you can access podcasts, games, videos, stories, even live classes, and it comes with a 20-day money-back guarantee. So start your new language learning journey today with Babbel. Right now, you can get up to 55% off your subscription when you go to babbel.com/TMT. That's BABBEL.com/TMT for up to 55% off your subscription. Babbel, language for life.
Next story, some sweet new couple news. Eligible bachelorette Emma Roberts is dating actor Cody John after her split with Garrett Hudland. Emma Roberts has been reportedly dating actor Cody John for a few months. The actress and John met through mutual friends, according to E! News.
Who the hell is Cody John?
I don't know. I Googled him. I don't know what he's like. The things that he's been in, I haven't seen. But he posted a picture of them smooching on his Instagram. And he had other posts on his Instagram of them like hanging out in August. And now someone is speaking to E! News confirming it, saying Emma loves Cody's personality. He's really funny and that they have been having a great time together.
I think that's good because as much as I loved the fact that she was dating Garrett Hedlund for so long, they had a baby together, I do think their relationship was extremely tumultuous and chaotic and not good. So while I have a deep and special place in my heart for Garrett Hudlund, thanks to Georgia Rule and Country Strong, two of the greatest movies of all time, whose common denominator is Garrett Hudlund, I think it's for the best. I do.
But he drunk drove.
Oh my God, I forgot. Shit. This is where my morals, like, I'm inclined to throw them out the window.
No, you have, it's more important when your morals get tough. And when your convictions get tough, you have to stand your ground.
No, when times get tough, my morals get going. Like,
you know need what I mean? To be scrupled.
Shit. I can't.
I'm sorry to have to remind you, but like, you loved, if it were a story about Sam Hunt, we'd be talking about it.
Yeah, of course, because I don't even like Sam Hunt. So like, that's easy to be scrupled.
Of course.
Oh my God, no. Like, I love Garrett Hedlund. I'm sorry, I still do.
Okay.
I do.
But you can seriously condemn drunk driving.
100%. With every it's bone not in cool. Your body. It's bad. It's bad.
Yeah, really bad.
Thanks for ruining my day.
Anyways, Emma Roberts is having a good day because she has a new man's and
she's so eligible.
She's so eligible. And if she wasn't in a new relationship, I would be putting her on the list to set her up.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that she's finding romance.
Me too.
And I'm sure it's serious if they've gone public and she has her baby now. You know, like, I don't think she's,
yes,
like, new mamas are as flippant with, like, relationships when obviously there's someone else to consider. And the source talks about that in this article too.
100%.
Cautious bringing her son around new people.
Yeah.
100%.
100%.
Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
I am.
A little light, fair bridal news. Nikki Bella.
Bitch, I sent you a story today.
Oh, right. Sorry. No.
It is high motherfucking time.
Oh, my God.
I start being heard around
here. Can I explain? I literally checked my phone 5 minutes ago because I remember you said I had a DM from you saying, let's talk about this today. So I just checked my phone to see what it was. I was going to slot it in. And am I allowed a slip of the mind?
But why do your slips only come when I request stories?
That's not
you,
true.
Gwyneth Paltrow on Shark Tank, you totally forgot.
Oh, my God. You send me stories all the time, and I always incorporate them. But I don't get credit for that.
Max, once a month.
I would say 4 stories a week you send me.
Is it so fun for you, like being delusional?
But I was going to go to your story. Like, can't you just forgive and move on?
I want to forgive you and I want to forget you.
Well, that's going to be really hard because we do this show together every day.
It is hard.
And this didn't have to turn into this because I was agreeing with you. I had already folded over my iPad.
Okay, let's
talk
about
it. And you won't hear about how Nikki Bella chose her wedding dress 30 minutes before her wedding.
Oh, that's interesting. We'll talk about it tomorrow.
Anyways, the thing that Claudia did send me was Rachel Bilson's podcast, Broad Ideas. She had on her podcast, hold on, I don't want the audio to start playing. She had on Alexis Nyers and Gabby from The Bling Ring, and they are talking about the robbery. And Rachel is forgiving them and moving on.
So if Rachel can forgive them, I can forgive you for forgetting my story. I was shocked.
Literally.
I was shocked when I heard this clip. First of all, the fact that, like, they're acknowledging, like, Rachel Bilson is acknowledging Alexis Nyers was just crazy, and that they were in the same room podcasting. But also, Rachel was extremely forgiving. She was, like, trying to help Alexis deal with the fact that, like, Alexis lives with this regret and this guilt. And of all the people who got robbed, like, Rachel got robbed really badly. And Rachel lost a family heirloom, her mother's engagement ring. Like, it was so much more than just, like, diamonds and cash. Like, it was really sentimental stuff. And Rachel was like, I've moved on from it so long ago. You need to move on from it. You need to forgive yourself. You can't keep walking around with this. It could never be me.
It could never be me either. But you do hear these stories, like,
of forgiveness.
Of forgiveness. Even in, like, my drug and alcohol abuse course, they had these, like, 2 stories of 2 people who drunk drove, killed people.
When you keep talking about your drug and alcohol course, it sounds like you were, like, sentenced to
right, that I've been, like, rehabilitated. No, in order to get your permit in Florida, you need to take a 4-hour drug and alcohol abuse class that shows you the dangers of drinking and driving.
I just feel like every time you bring up your drug and alcohol course, like, you need to mention
right
that.
Okay, so in the course that I had to take because I just want to get my permit, like, nothing nefarious happened, there were these 2 cases of people who drunk drove, killed other people. Like, they weren't injured, but now they're spending their lives in prison. And the family members of the people who they killed, it's been like 10, 15 years, have forgiven them. And now it's like, yeah, you have to forgive yourself.
You hear about that a lot. Like,
I think it's probably harder to forgive yourself than it course. Is to forgive the person who wronged you.
Yeah. I just thought it was very big of Rachel Bilson, and I love Rachel Bilson. Please don't tell me she drove and drank too.
Not that I'm aware of.
So this just made me love her even more. It's, like, such a mature thing to do. She didn't even have to acknowledge Alexis. Like, I think, but the conversation they had was, like, the way that the media glamorized this whole thing and how the movie.
They continue to.
Right. I did finish the Bling Ring documentary, and there was, like, a twist at the end because, like, everyone on there was just, like, being delusional and talking about, like, social media. Like, they had that guy Nick and, like, Perez Hilton. And then they had someone come in at the end and be like, these people, like, who you're hearing from, like, they are the problem. Like, they're exactly what's wrong and how things like the Bling Ring happen, like, this obsession with celebrity and being famous. And it was like they kind of flipped the whole conversation on its head. I kind of loved it.
Oh, that's a good message, if you can get till the end.
But they were also victim blaming Paris Hilton.
How so?
Like, she's like the face of this culture being obsessed with fame and celebrity. So, like, it's only, you know, a matter of time before she got robbed. Like, what?
I don't think that's how it works.
1 + 1 = sock.
Sock.
Yeah. They were, like, kind of victim blaming Paris. I did not like that.
That's weird. And I agree. Just And Rachel talked about like the glamorization. I only saw the one clip that you sent me. I also feel like this is like the fact that she's sitting down with Alexis Nyers, like, is just the power of podcasting. Like,
100%.
I don't think they would be getting together if like Alexis has a podcast, Rachel's a podcaster, we're both in the news, like, let's podcast. I actually think lot of ways podcasting is probably facilitating important conversations that might not be had otherwise.
I mean, look at us. Important conversations daily, minutely, hourly. On the reg. Yeah, no, I agree. This is a true testament to the power of podcasting. I couldn't have said it better myself. And this, I was just shocked. Like, when I saw this clip going around, I'm like, wait, there's no way that's Alexis Nyers. Like,
well, when I first saw the clip, they don't have video. So it's just like pictures of Rachel talking. Audio. And I was like, yeah. Oh, Rachel's talking about it on her show. And then I read the caption and it said like, she's talking about it with Alexis and Gabby. And I was like, shit.
No, this is so crazy. I'm surprised more people aren't talking about it.
Yeah. Also, the glamorization of past crimes. And this brings me back to the Jeffrey Dahmer thing that we talked about. People like didn't like what we said about it. But the more I've seen and heard about Jeffrey Dahmer, still haven't watched it. But my husband was watching it. So I saw like some stuff and I've been reading more like media stuff and from the victims' families. Like the more certain I am, like, why is this the content that we're creating? Like that show.
So let me just say, people didn't like what we said and they were 100% right because we literally didn't know what we were talking about.
Like about we didn't about know about like his specific crimes, but
right. Like he targeted gay men and exclusively.
Yes. And but what we were, our larger point was like, why are we watching shows about people like this? Even if they're not glamorizing it necessarily, the fact that it's a Hollywood production, Jeffrey Dahmer's played by Evan Peters, like, it's glamorous. The fact that
I stand by what we said
is number one in the country, and so everyone is just sitting at home watching these horrific heinous crimes, unimaginable crimes, is so twisted to me.
I completely agree. I stand by what we said completely.
I
stand by,
like, the more I hear about it, and I saw a story from, like, one of the victims' families. There was an episode that focused on one victim in particular, and I guess, like, his trial and everything. And so they're using the victim's name and his family's name, and they're like, the victim's family is like, how are they allowed to do this? How are they allowed to,
talk
about us and portray us? It's I find it so wrong, and it also
me too.
It makes me feel like in 15 years, 20 years, like they're going to be making movies or shows about like the worst crimes committed today. Like,
no, and by the way, the turnaround time is fast as fuck now.
Fast like, as ever. But I do think like getting away from it, you become desensitized.
Yes.
And I think that back in the 70s, like serial killers were, I don't want to say trendy, but that was what the crazy people were doing.
Yeah.
I think it's morphed to today where that's not as much what's happening, but we see like mass shootings and that's right, what's happening now. And so like,
totally.
To think about the fact that in what, 10 years, are we going to have an origin story about the Uvalde school shooter?
No, by the way, we are. I totally agree. I think this true crime like niche has taken a wild turn. I don't think it's like funny anymore. I don't think it's respectful. And I think like nobody ever thinks about how like the living family members of these victims who are re-traumatized every time there's a new documentary or a new TV show is so fucked up. And I don't watch shit like that. I won't watch shit like that. And I genuinely like don't understand.
Yeah. So
stand by what we said.
I stand by what we
said.
I apologize that we didn't know the extent of his crimes and what he did.
But that's like what we were talking about with Jessica Knoll. She agreed.
Yes, exactly.
So those were the Fast Five. Don't go anywhere because it's Dear Toasters time. We will, every Wednesday, if you want to write into deartoasters@gmail.com, we do our best to help our toasters in need, whether it's work-related, relationship-related, family-related, personal hygiene related. We're going to do our very best. We're going to do our damnedest to help you girlies out. And it's brought to you by Bruche, the electric toothbrush that will change the way you think about brushing your teeth. With powerful sonic technology and ultra gentle bristles, the Bruche redefines what it means to have super clean teeth. So the Bruche is everything of the sort. It is the official toothbrush of the Morning Toast. I'm sure you all have it. If you don't, like, what are you waiting for? It's time to switch to an electric toothbrush, first of all, because it's so much better for your teeth. It's so much better for the environment. And a lot of them can be really expensive. I think the Bruche is super affordable compared to others on the market. And it has everything that you need. The magnetic charging stand, the sleek travel case, a 2-minute timer with a quad pacer. So you're getting all of your teeth for all of the time. It has different modes. So you can use the gentle mode if you have sensitive gums. problems, you can use the wipe mode to help remove tough surface stains. And they also have the tongue mode to keep that stanky, stanky breath at bay.
Claudia, he can keep his tongue.
I agree.
And you'll want to if you're using Pruche.
I agree. Get 20% off when you pick up your Pruche brush kit and plan when you go to Pruche.com/toast. Pruche is spelled Bruush. That's Pruche.com. And 20% off when you go to Pruche.com/toast. And when you get the kit, it includes the electric toothbrush, 3 brush heads that you should change out every couple of months so you keep that breath nice and tight, the magnetic charging station, and the sleek travel case at Pruche.com/toast. All right, ready?
Mm-hmm.
Again, if you want to write in, it's deartoasters@gmail.com. Try and keep it brief, just like with the need to know information. We can't be reading a whole novel here as much as we would love to. If we see yours, is that like a little bit too long? Like, we are going to skip it. I'm sorry. All right. Hey, girlies. Love the rebrand.
Thank you.
Obviously. Okay. So we know this is a woman of taste or man. I'll make it short and sweet. My husband is seriously the best, except when it comes to the one thing that completely grosses me out. He rarely washes his hands after using the bathroom. At first, he tried to tell me that it was only when he went number one and that guys don't need to do that. If they actually need to do it more, but okay. I've recently noticed him not washing his hands after he goes poop, too. Whenever I hear a flush and it is not followed by the sound of running water, I get disgusted and usually question, "Did you wash your hands?" Sometimes he grunts annoyed and goes back into the bathroom to do it. Other times he yells at me to just stop. Is this a guy thing? We have 2 little boys who are starting to pick everything up, and I don't want them to eventually think that this is normal behavior. Also, like, don't touch me or my babies with your germ-infested hands. Help. I'm starting to feel like a naggy wench. The thing about being a naggy bitch wife, which I am, is you have to pick your battles. So it's important to take inventory and be like, is this battle worth picking? This battle, I do believe, is worth picking, especially when it comes to number 2.
Yeah, I don't know what is like considered normal when it comes to washing your hands after going to the bathroom. Like, I wash my hands every time I go, like, wouldn't even occur to me not to, whether I'm going number 1 or 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Like, I wash my hands every single time. That's why if I ever have spray tan or use self-tanner, my hands are always white. Like, I wash them after everything. I know that there's,
I would say I wash my hands when I'm out in public 100% of the time. In the comfort of my own home, I'm going to go with like an 83%.
Okay. I know that there are people who don't wash their hands after they pee, but always do it after number 2. So if he's not washing his hands, and I do think men need to do it more after number 1 than women, because
they're touching the orifice. Like, we're using toilet paper. I do think sometimes if you're peeing and you wipe, like, you could literally get up off the toilet with no bacteria on your hands. Like, if done correctly.
If done correctly. But just in case, for that margin of error, wash your hands. He should be washing his hands, like, as a human being. But also, like, as a father now, you really don't want your kids to think that that's even an option, because of course they won't wash their hands. Who wants to wash their hands? And kids, like, just have so many germs that they carry, that they transmit to one another. Like, you want to get your kids in the business of washing their hands. And for that reason, he needs to make a bigger effort.
So I think a general rule of thumb when you're starting to feel like a naggy bitch wife, which is the worst fucking feeling, is to assess how important this particular thing is. And I do think that this is, I mean, have we learned nothing from the pandemic? Like, you gotta be clean.
Right, but it's like, it's different than pandemic because it's just like your fecal matter and stuff.
No, but still, it's just like general hygiene.
Yeah.
Like, we know the importance of washing your hands now, you know what I mean?
Yes. Yes, I think that you should fight for this just because it's a good example to set. And even if your kids only absorb like 50% of what you're trying to tell them to do, you need to start at 100%.
But you also want your kids to listen to you, and your kids are going to do as you do, not as you say.
Practice what you preach.
You have to practice what you preach, because then you're just a hypocrite. But one thing about me is, like, when, you know, God willing, I become a parent, like, I will be a hypocrite. It's salads for everyone, McDonald's for me. Oh.
Yes, but also, like, I do think sometimes, not, like, about washing your hands, but sometimes, like, there's different rules for children than there are for adults. Like, we are not the same.
Right, right. Like, I can wear makeup, you can't.
Of course.
Right, right. But still, like, I just, that, I think, people keep asking when I'm going to write my next book, and by people, I mean, like, 3 people. And I do think I probably will wait to write another book till I have a child, and it's going to be called, like, The Hypocritical Mom, because it's do as I say, not as I do.
I think a lot of moms follow that. credence.
Because it's too late for me, you know, but it's not too late for you.
Yeah, no, but it's like, I can curse, you can.
Of course I can. That's going to be a problem for me. I'm going to have those kids. I'm okay with it.
There's worse things.
Like, they're not doing crack, so.
No.
A fuck here and there. I'm okay with it. All right, next up. Hey, Jackson Claude. Love you guys, and I love the Toast rebrand already. I need your advice. The other night, two of my friends got too drunk on a night out and started shit-talking my boyfriend and my relationship. Basically, they were saying he treats me badly. And it couldn't be further from the truth. It is the best and healthiest relationship I've ever been in, and all my other friends agree with that. When I asked one of the girls after I found out, she took full responsibility and apologized.
Oh, you weren't there.
No. I feel completely betrayed by this, and I don't want to lose my friend, but it made me feel insecure and confused. Any advice on what I should do? Sounds like you got a couple jealous wenches on your hands, and you know, the only way to handle a jealous wench. I don't know. I was going to flip to you.
Oh, I think that you... There could be like room for forgiveness here. As we've stated so many times about the housewives, like you could say something mean when you're drunk that you don't really mean. And if your friend like took full responsibility, apologized, I think you guys need to like explore it further and be like, well, why did you say that stuff? Like, do you really mean it? If you think he's a bad boyfriend, like let her speak on it, and then you can explain like why he's not and why you're so happy. I think you should work through it. But honestly,
I also think like
it's upsetting. But they also, if they're both single, like they might be jealous wenches.
Jealous.
And you can know that in the back of your mind. And like, not that it's an excuse, but now you know how it happened.
No, but also I do feel
And they don't even have to be single. They could be in bad relationships themselves and be projecting.
With female friendships, I just feel like there's a certain level of shit talking that's expected. Like, I don't know, like, it's just part of the human experience. Like, we're three best friends and two of us are going out. Like, we're going to talk about the third one. Like, is that crazy? Like, I just think we all need to, like, lower our expectations a little bit. Like, friends talk about friends. Like, it's just part of the human experience.
Yeah, that is true. I wouldn't want to lose a friend over it. And so...
Right.
If I were the one on the receiving end, if I was someone who, like, I found out they were talking about me, depending on which friend it is and what they said, like, I would try and work through it. If it was the opposite, if someone caught me talking crap, I would want the chance to explain myself or just completely apologize if what I said was something I truly didn't mean.
Right, right. Give it a chance. I don't think like in this present moment, this is a reason enough to like write people off completely because people are people and they talk. Like it's who we are.
I agree with that.
We need to be like a little bit more forgiving on the shit talking front.
I agree.
All right, third and final. Hey, girlies. Here's the deal. Longtime toaster, OG brother. Thank you for the show. I can't tell you how many times listening in has pulled me out of a funk or cast away my bad mood. Oh my, that's so nice. So my husband, total P-Jom, moved 4 hours from home to be with me, and I gained my dream job as a NICU nurse. Is it a NICU nurse? N-I-C-U?
Yeah, I think I say NICU, and I'm wrong.
Okay. We have been living here for over 2 years now. At times we miss some of our friends and family, but we go up to our hometown quite a bit and people always make time to come see us, except my mother-in-law. The excuses range from unrealistic weather forecasts to just she's too busy this weekend, but she always makes sure to ask us when we will be visiting next or even asking us when we are moving back. My husband has made it very clear to her that this is our new life and that she needs to accept it. But I can see that it bothers him that she still hasn't made an effort to come visit us. There's a part of me that wants to confront her and tell her she needs to make a plan to come down to be there for her son. But there's another part of me that wants to have a full-blown standoff with her to see how far she'll take this. My husband and I are trying for a baby, and it makes me question if she'll even make the effort when we get pregnant and or have a baby. What would you guys do? A conflicted daughter-in-law. I'm a stubborn wench, so like I am tempted to go standoff. Like, fine, don't see your grandbaby. That's on you. But she is an older woman.
Yeah, no, I don't know that this would bother me so much because...
Some girls would crave this, by the way.
Yeah, it depends on your situation. And not because, like, I would be glad that she's not coming, but, like, everybody is going through their own stuff. Like, she's an older woman. Like, you don't know why she doesn't want to come down. But also, like, maybe she just wants you to come to her. And, like, even if that means she sees you less, like, it's... Maybe she can't make the trip for one reason or another.
Right, like she's probably just expecting that anytime you guys see each other, it'll be you coming to her. And as you know, when you have respect for your parents and you're the younger party, you do have to kind of respect that. So I don't think it's so crazy. I imagine being a wife and seeing your husband like sad about something his mom is doing, like you feel helpless and like you want to be helpful.
Right, but I would just want to understand why she's not coming. Like
4 hours, like treacherousness, I assume.
It's in the car.
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe you could get, maybe it's like she doesn't want to drive. Maybe you could get like a driver for her, whatever. Find
drive down there yourself.
Yeah, like find out what it is that's like that block for her. I don't think it's just her like not wanting to see you guys.
Yeah, there's probably a reason. Like maybe she's too old to do the trip alone. Maybe she can't sit in a car for that long.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
Yeah.
Meet halfway.
I would advise to be like a little open-minded about it and not just assume the worst.
Yes, I agree. That's fair.
That she's being just wenchy for wench sake.
Wenchy. It's so hard to tell, though, when someone's being a wench and when they're not.
Yeah.
Especially when you, like me, assume the worst in other people. You know?
I don't think that you do, though.
I think that I do, actually. Like, I'm self-aware enough to know. Like, I'm always seeing the worst in people.
But I think you, like, take pause, you know?
Only when I ask you and you're like,
well, pause. You pause enough to ask me.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Maybe am I, like, an amazing person?
Yes.
So that was Dear Toasters. Again, if you want to write in, it's deartoasters@gmail.com. Thank you to everyone who wrote in for today's episode. Tomorrow's episode, I'm going to be live from Nashville. So I'm excited to see you guys then and see you guys at my show tomorrow night. Tickets available at upyourass.com because you're too late, bitch. You're too motherfucking late, bitch.
Upyourass.com. Okay. Let me write that down.
Yeah, just pencil it in. Thank you guys so much for listening to the Toast the Millennium Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us, The Morning Toast, and leave a five-star, The Toast, and leave a five-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. Hope you guys have an incredible hump day. Don't forget to hump someone you love, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Love ya.
Bye.